ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 Chapter 4, entitled The Hamsa Guhya Prayers.
Thank you.
Verse number 5. Drumebhya krudhyamanaste tapo deepita manyavaha मुखतो वायुन अग्निम च ससृजुस्तत् दिथक्षया द्रुमेभ्य क्रुध्यमानस्ते तपो दीपितमन्यवः मुखतो वायुम अग्निम च ससृजुस्तत् दिथक्षया द्रुमेभ्य क्रुध्यमानास्ते तपो दीपितमन्यवः मुखतो वायुमग्निं च ससृजुस्तत् दिथक्षया। Word to a translation, Drumebhya, unto the trees, Krudhyamanaha, being very angry, they, the 10 sons of Prajina Barhi, Tapaha Deepita Manyavaha, whose anger was inflamed because of long austerities. Mukhataha, from the mouth. Vayum, wind. Agnim, fire. Cha, and. Sasrajuhu, they created. Tat, those forests. Didakshaya, with the desire to burn. Because of having undergone long austerities in the water, the Prachetas were very angry at the trees. Desiring to burn them to ashes, they generated wind and fire from their mouths. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Here, the word tapo dibita manyavaha indicates that persons who have undergone severe austerity, tapasya, are endowed with great mystic power, as evinced by the Prachetas who created fire and wind from their mouths. Although devotees undergo severe tapasya, however, they are vimanyavaha, sadhavaha, which means that they are never angry. They are always decorated with good qualities. Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, 21st verse states, Titakshava karunikaha suhurda sarvadehinam ajada shatravashanta sadhava sadhubhushanam. A sadhu, a devotee, is never angry. Actually, the real feature of devotees who undergo tapasya, austerity, is forgiveness. Although a Vaishnava has sufficient power in tapasya, he does not become angry when put into difficulty. If one undergoes tapasya but does not become a Vaishnava, however, one does not develop good qualities. For example, Hiranyakashipu and Ravana also performed great austerities, but they did not demonstrate their they did so to demonstrate the demoniac tendencies. Vaishnavas must meet many opponents while preaching the glories of the Lord. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that they not become angry while preaching. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this formula, Trinadabi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Those engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree. Then they can preach the glories of the Lord without difficulty. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananchana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rakunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaghanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchagalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahadbhayai Mapuro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunkte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vachamsime Hare Krishna. So we are in the beginning of the fourth chapter of the sixth canto, and the main description of this chapter is Hamsa Guhya prayers. We can see the prayers offered by Daksha to the Supreme Lord. And here we see the austerities which are performed by 10 sons of Prachina Barhi. So they did severe austerities inside the water, which is very difficult for us to understand. And that too for a prolonged time. We had to understand still in terms of the development of Bhagavatam, we are still in the beginning of creation. So here, the secondary level of progenies are going to be created. And that's where Prachetas, they did perform austerities so they can have good progenies. So here, these Prachetas, they performed all these austerities, and when they came out of the water, they saw the whole earth was filled with trees. So they became very angry. So Srila Prabhupada is wonderfully explaining very important points based on this, in this purport. Now, if you see, austerities can give us power. So here, the austerities performed by Prajedas gave them mystical abilities, mystical powers. So austerities in general can make one very strong, can give different kinds of power. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, 17th chapter, explains austerities of the words, right? Austerities of the words, of the speech. What are they? Anidvayaka karam vakyam, satyam priyam hitam chayat. Swadhyayana abhyaseva vangmayam tapa uchyate. So one has to speak which will not cause agitation to others. So this is austerity of the words. And at the same time, it has to be truthful, satyam. So one shouldn't agitate anyone while speaking, which is not very easy. And then it has to be priyam, it has to be pleasing. Then it has to be truthful. Also, it has to be based on Vedic scriptures. So one has to recite Vedic scriptures. And it has to be hitam, it has to be beneficial for the person. So this is very challenging, the austerity of the speech. It's very challenging because we can tell the truth, but it can be very harsh. And we can quote Shastra, but it may not be beneficial for the person. So the real austerity of the speech means the combination of everything. If somebody is coming with some problems, so if you speak about Shastra which is unrelated, how is it going to be beneficial? Right? Somebody is telling you, okay, I have difficulty controlling some of the urges. And immediately we start speaking about all universal form from the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It is according to Shastra, but it may not be very beneficial. So it is mentioned that ultimately, if you conclude everything of this, all these qualities of speech, the most important austerity of the speech or the ultimate purpose is it has to be beneficial for the person. Even though there are many qualities of or austerities of speech, the ultimate thing is it has to be beneficial. Otherwise, no use. So this is some of the austerities of speech. And even for the body also there are austerities. Starting from worshipping the Lord, worshipping spiritual master, worshipping brahmanas, worshipping elders, and cleanliness, and shaucham, arjavam, which is self-control and humility. So, simplicity, arjavam is actually simplicity. Then, it is brahmacharya, ahimsa. These are all different austerities of the body. So, this is very important. So, the austerities are not waste. It has power. It actually helps a person. Similarly, when you talk about austerities of the mind, one of the important austerity of the mind is being satisfied with what we have. This austerity of the mind. And Prabhupada gives a very wonderful purport in which Prabhupada says that one can get the austerity of the mind of satisfaction if we can be devoid of the desire for sense gratification. It's a very deep point if you think about. The mind is not satisfied because of desires for sense gratification. So Prabhupada says that if one can check this thing, then the mind can be satisfied. So this is a very deep point and we can see that it is very, very practical. Because the desire for sense enjoyment, that will create agitation of the mind. If you get one thing, the second, and so on and so forth. So it goes on in this way. And that's why Prabhupada again and again mentions, okay, the more we think of sense enjoyment, the more the mind becomes dissatisfied. That's why Srila Prabhupada's definition of material desires is in this way. Prabhupada said, that which can never be fulfilled. What is a material desire? That which can never be fulfilled. So this is a material desire. So If you think, even when Prabhupada is just defining the material desire, from there we can understand the essence of it. Can ever be fulfilled. It means the mind is going to be agitated. So we have plenty of experience in our own life. Still we are getting experience about this. Right? So that is the desire for sense gratification. And at the same time, Prabhupada, and here we can see that the Prachetas, they did perform austerity, which included worshipping the Lord. And they had the power. What was their power for? They were ready to burn all the forest, all the trees and creepers and whatever they found. They could burn because they could produce fire and wind from their mouth. This is very powerful. This is a powerful thing to have. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, they all performed austerity. And no use. It wasn't beneficial for anyone. We know the story of Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra, he was performing austerities. And Indra was threatened by his austerities. Because if he performed so much of austerities, maybe Vishwamitra could occupy the post of Indra. So Indra was very, very afraid of his position. And he sent Menaka, we know that. And just hearing the sound of the ankle bells of Menaka, Vishwamitra, austerity was completed, he was inflicted by lust. So he got married, Shakuntala was born, so that's the history. Then he learned from his mistake, so this is the point. He again performed severe austerities, Vishwamitra. This time he understood. This Indra is a problematic person. He is going to obstruct my austerities because he is afraid of his position. So this time he was completely determined that he didn't want to be affected by anything. So that time Indra again sent another Apsara, Rambha. The first was Menaka. And the second one was Rambha. This time what happened? This time Vishwamitra thought, okay, I don't want to get agitated by this Rambha. I know what happened. And he understood what she was doing. So he opened his eyes with great anger. And indeed, he cursed Rambha. So this is the problem. So since he had power because of all the austerities, and since he used that power in a wrong way, he lost his potency. The power of his austerities were lost because of that. So this is how, as it is mentioned here, if someone is not a devotee, even one may achieve power by austerities, that will be lost. Or we can see, Prabhupada gives the example of Hiranyakashipu and Ravan. They used the power of their austerities for demoniac purpose. Here, in this world, we can see severe austerities performed by so many people. Whole life of austerities, isn't it? Going to work is an austerity. It's not so easy. Especially devotees know it's not easy. And nowadays, people are feeling more and more pressure from work. Hours of work. And not for 1 or 2 years. It is for decades. 40 years, 50 years. Severe austerity. And of course, they don't get any subtle powers. They may get some gross power, or the subtle power is that of money, but not really any mystical abilities, because it is pretty gross. However, Prabhupada is driving this purport to one point, and that demonstrates the position of Srila Prabhupada. So he explains a little bit about the austerities, and its improper use, as well as the power attained by prachetas. The whole purport is about a very important point, and that actually establishes the position of Srila Prabhupada as an acharya. So we had a discussion on Nityananda Trayodashi. Acharya gives the example for the whole world by his own actions, his own words, his own behavior. At the same time, the mood of an acharya is he feels so much of compassion for the living entities. So this is the mood of an acharya. Now, if you see this purport, in the beginning of the purport, it's a Prabhupada picks this word, two words, because here the prachetas are demonstrating anger. They are manyavaha or manyu. So manyu means angry. So the prachetas are angry. And Prabhupada says the opposite of that, that is vimanyu, vimanyavaha. And then he uses the word sadhu, sadhavaha. So here we can see this purport is about vimanyavaha or vimanyu, one who is devoid of anger. So when I saw these two words in this purport, suddenly one verse came to my mind, because Srila Prabhupada is directly referring to this famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam from the 5th canto, 5th chapter, 2nd verse. It's a very, very famous verse, because Mahat Sevam Dwara Mahur Vimuktehe. What is that? Mahat Sevam Dwara Mahur Vimuktehe. What? The door will wide open if one serves devotees. So this is the, or by the association of the devotees, one can go back home, back to Godhead. And the opposite is Tamodwaram Yoshidam Sanghi Sangam. And the opposite is Yoshidam Sanghi Sangam. Tamodwaram. Gateway to hell is one who is attached to woman and sex life. That is what is given here. In this way, it is very strongly presented. Tamodwaram Yoshidam Sanghi Sangam. And then he mentions, this is actually Rishabdev, Mahantaste Samachitta Prashanta Vimanyaya Suhrda Sadhoye. So Vimanyavaha Suhrda Sadhoye. So Prabhupada quotes this verse, and I was particularly struck by this translation of Vimanyavaha in the 5th canto, 5th chapter, 2nd verse. So Prabhupada doesn't just translate Vimanyavaha as one who is devoid of anger. Rather, he writes Vimanyavaha without anger, and then within bracket, one must distribute Krishna consciousness to persons who are hostile without becoming angry at them. So this is very interesting. And if you see this purport is based on this one word, Vimanyu. So not becoming angry, it is not just demonstrating angry mood, it's not just that, but where this mood has to be demonstrated. And Srila Prabhupada is very clear about it. And that's why in this purport, we can see this point that the success for preaching is Trinadabhi Sunichena Taroriva Sahishnana. Prabhupada writes, those engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree. Then they can preach the glories of the Lord without difficulty. Now, this qualification is common for both our sadhana and preaching. So it is not that the qualification for chanting is something and qualification for preaching is something else. No, both are the same. That is, one has to be humble and one has to be tolerant. So this is the qualification for both. And Prabhupada, of course, demonstrates this in his life. And in this verse, the quality of the devotee, Titakshava, Karunikaha, same. Titakshava, one who is very tolerant. Karunika, very merciful. Suhurda, Sarvadehinam, is a friend of all the living entities. And that's why Srila Prabhupada writes, you are ever well-wisher. Because Suhurdaha, Sarvadehinam. Because the devotees are always well-wisher of all the living beings. And Ajata Shatravaha, Ajata Shatru. Even Yudhishthira Maharaj is known as Ajatashatru. Ajatashatru means they don't have any enemies, or if you literally see, no enemy has ever born for them. Ajatashatrava, there are no enemy whatsoever. Shantaha, sadhava sadhu bhushana bhushanam. They are peaceful, and these are the qualities of devotees. So now, this is from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapiladeva's instruction. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada lists few examples to this, how devotees demonstrate these qualities. Prabhupada gives the example of Sivananda Sen. It's amazing. Sivananda Sen is a devotee from Bengal, and he used to go to Jagannath Puri along with other devotees every year to take part in the Sankirtan with Lord Chaitanya in Rath Yatra. So Sivananda Sen was traveling with the devotees, and one dog joined this party. So you have to understand, this is a very elite party of devotees. Sivananda Sen is there, Lord Nityananda is there, Advaita Acharya is there, Srivast Thakur is there. If you see all the prominent devotees from Nadia are going to Jagannath Puri, and in this party one dog participated. So dog was joining this party. So they were performing Sankirtan. It is mentioned that they were in so much ecstasy that sometime they can even lose track of their way, because they are in ecstasy. So they may go somewhere, and then they ask, "How are we in the right track? Are we going to Jagannath Puri?" Say, "No, no, no, you are going in the opposite direction. Go back." Then they will come to the right track. Then again they will go. Sometimes they can lose track, but still they were going all the way to Jagannath Puri, and this dog was with them. So a few days, Sivananda Sen looked after the dog. So he would personally feed the dog. And it is mentioned, one time they had to cross the river. They had a ferry. So Sivananda Sen even paid for the dog. So, so everyone in the party must cross the river. In that way, they were all proceeding toward Jagannath Puri. And suddenly, the dog disappeared from the party. And then it is mentioned that Sivananda Sen sent 100 men in search for this dog. So you had to understand, this is transcendental dog. Now also we can see people lose their pet dogs. So you can see posters. Have you seen that? Missing. You know, if you go walk by the beach, sometimes you see on the poles here, the dog is missing. If you find, we will reward you. So Sivananda Sen understood this dog to be a devotee. So this is, Prabhupada explains that Sivananda Sen was such a high caliber in devotion that he could understand, okay, this dog is also a devotee. And then they couldn't do anything. They couldn't find the dog. Eventually the party entered Jagannath Puri, and then they saw Mahaprabhu feeding this dog some coconut pulp. Mahaprabhu, with his own lotus hand, he was feeding this dog with some coconut pulp. And then Sivananda Sen understood, this is not ordinary, because this dog is not ordinary, because Lord himself is showing mercy to this dog. And then in 1 or 2 days, this dog disappeared. And then Sivananda Sen concluded that because the Lord personally gave mercy to this dog, the dog has gone back home, back to Godhead. So this is, so Prabhupada quotes this particular pastime in this purport to show the mercy of devotees. So we also have dog, right? In Harinam Sankirtan. Janardhan, yeah? We also have dog, you know, distributing mercy, distributing books. So it is possible. So we can see there are always transcendental personalities. And one shows mercy. Devotees show mercy to anyone. And devotees give prasadam to animals. It's merciful. Of course, we don't feed the birds here in the temple, because we will be in trouble with the council. All the problems are there, so we don't feed the birds in the temple. But generally, otherwise, yes, we show mercy to everyone, at least we try to. So this is the example given by Srila Prabhupada. And of course, we can see that Srila Prabhupada's life, you know, he has shown mercy to everyone. Shrutakirti Prabhu was telling this example. Just came to my mind. Shrutakirti Prabhu is the longest servant of Prabhupada. He was in the same room as Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked Shrutakirti Prabhu, "Can you see that?" So, that's a very funny story. Shrutakirti Prabhu was telling, he was sitting here and explaining. He was thinking, "Can you see that?" So, Prabhupada is asking, "Can you see that?" So, Shrutakirti Prabhu thought, you know, Prabhupada can see Krishna, Radharani, Narada Muni, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva. He was thinking, you know, "Can you see that?" I mean, what is Prabhupada meaning by this? So, what he meant by this? So he was thinking in this way. And then Prabhupada again asked, "Can you see that?" Then Shrutakirti Prabhu said, "No, I can't see anything, you know, Prabhupada, I can't see anything." So he said, Prabhupada said, "Can you see that bug?" Oh, then Shrutakirti Prabhu looked and he saw the bug. So Prabhupada said, "Okay, you know," Prabhupada said, "take, we had to do something about this bug." So Shrutakirti Prabhu asked what to do. Prabhupada said, "Take that bug and outside there is a few maha flowers are there. So put that bug on the flower. So the bug can eat the flower." Can you see that? This is transcendental consciousness. This is actually Suhrada Sarvadehinam. Of course, Prabhupada gave mercy to animal-like men of this world. You know, we don't have any hope otherwise. Because if you think about it, our qualities, our habits, if we haven't received mercy of Srila Prabhupada, it would have been really horrible, because we can do all the animalistic activities. It's just a matter of time. It is mentioned that to follow four regulative principles, just to follow four regulative principles, one needs the mercy of a spiritual master. Just to follow four regulative principles. Don't talk about, you know, the highest level of bhakti. Okay, that is there. But just to follow four regulative principles, we need the mercy of the spiritual master. So we can see where this mercy is coming from. And without that, we are not even coming to the human platform. Once, Srila Prabhupada was in Stockholm. It was a very famous pastime. Because how Prabhupada demonstrated, you know, humility. This is very interesting. Okay, Prabhupada was, you know, pure devotee, is humble all the time. Even if he shows anger, still that is humility. In Stockholm, one angry person in the crowd asked a question to Srila Prabhupada. The reason is, Prabhupada was explaining Varnashram. So he was explaining, you know, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all the different ashrams he was explaining. So he said, Brahmanas are first class, then Kshatriya second class, then Vaishya third class, Shudra fourth class. In this way he was explaining. And then one person became very angry and he asked Prabhupada, "So are you the first class?" In a,
he said to him,
"What class are you?" Thank you, Mataji. Yes, head down in humility. Fifth class. It is mentioned that Prabhupada, first he was a bit surprised because this is showing envy. Direct envy of this person, because, you know, first class, second class. So he was thinking that Prabhupada is going to tell, "I am first class." So Prabhupada was surprised to see envy in this person, and that's why in humility he put his head down and then he said, "No, I am fifth class, because I am serving all the four classes." Now this is, it's actually, if you think about it, it's very difficult to be on this platform. It is really, really difficult. Because constantly thinking that I am serving others. Because when we give instructions especially, naturally we think I am superior. Think about this. It's very difficult. When we are giving instruction, we think we are superior. And I am just serving. It's a very, very high consciousness. Even Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, yesterday was his appearance day, he joked about himself. He said, "Look, I am sitting on a big asan and people are all sitting in front of me." Because Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is the Acharya Kesari, is like a lion-like guru. And he told, "I am like an animal in the zoo." Because people go to zoo and everyone wants to watch the animals, you know, everyone is watching. He said, "I am just sitting like that." But he said, the mood should be dasosmi. So he used to say, if someone comes, he used to chastise, but at the same time, his mood was dasosmi. So this is a very high consciousness. That is, even one is chastising, even one is showing anger. Prabhupada is telling a pure devotee will not, or devotees will not show anger. But for the correction purpose, they are showing anger. Even when they are doing that, they are doing as a servant. This is very elevated consciousness. Because as soon as if we become angry, even if for a good purpose, even if for others' benefit, still we can lose, or we can lose track of our own position. So this is a very, very important point. And Srila Prabhupada demonstrated. And another pastime I will tell about Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was telling me, it was a very, very wonderful pastime, where Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And all the caste Goswamis, they came to Srila Prabhupada in Krishna Balaram temple. So Prabhupada was his disciple. He finished a class. He was just getting up. And all these people came, all the caste Goswamis came. So they are in charge of all the temples there. They are prominent people. And they started criticizing Srila Prabhupada on his face. Why did you make these Westerners into Brahmanas? Why did you allow them to, or why are you allowing them to worship the Lord? Why are you teaching them Srimad Bhagavatam? In this way, directly they were blaspheming Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's disciples, some of them became very angry, and that is the mood of the disciple. And if somebody is criticizing the spiritual master, definitely one will become agitated and angry. And they wanted to really, you know, do something about it. Prabhupada just showed, because he saw the disciples were becoming angry, Prabhupada just showed, you know, relax, don't do anything. And then Prabhupada, he just, you know, just his head down, and he just made one statement. He said, I am simply trying to fulfill the order of my spiritual master. He didn't tell anything else. It is said, as soon as these people heard this one sentence, I am simply trying to fulfill the order of my spiritual master, they stopped speaking everything. They just walked away. They didn't create any scene anymore. So you can see, they're touched by the quality of Srila Prabhupada. So this is the, you know, on the highest platform. We cannot really, you know, we cannot fathom how it is. It's not just acting. You know, we act. You know, Haribol Prabhu, Haribol Mataji. This is, you know, I do act. It's not the real humility. Because the real humility is on a very, very high platform. Sanatan Goswami explains in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There are a couple of interesting points about humility. On one level, Sanatan Goswami explains that the real humility is a devotee is having all the good qualities or all the abilities, and still he or she thinks that I have no abilities, I have no qualification. That is one aspect. See, so all the qualities are there, still one feels that I don't have that. So this is a very sincere feeling from the heart. Second, we can understand that even though a devotee sincerely feels that I have no qualities or no abilities, still such a devotee will serve Krishna with whatever he or she has. So it is not like false humility means, Prabhu, I have no ability, I cannot do that. So even if one is instructed, we show false humility and we may not do the service. So that is false humility. But the real humility means, whatever, I don't have any abilities, because I am ordered to do that, so I will do it. So this is real humility. So on one level, there are real qualities, but naturally one feels that I don't have those qualities and abilities. But still, the humility is such that with whatever abilities one has, one will serve Krishna. This we can see in Srimad Bhagavatam again and again. Even Prahlad Maharaj, we can read in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, his first prayer is the prayer of his own humility. Brahmadeya Shuragano Manayota Siddha Sattu Ekatanagataya Vachasam Pravahai. Then Puriganai അധുനാപി വിപ്രു കിം കിം തോഷ്ണമർഹതി സഹേ സമേ ഹരിർ ഉഗ്രജാതേ. ഹി ഈസ് ടെല്ലിംഗ് ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് എ വെരി നാച്ചുറൽ ഫീലിംഗ് ഫ്രം ദ ഹാർട്ട് ഓഫ് പ്രഹ്ലാദ് മഹാരാജ് ദാറ്റ് ബ്രഹ്മാദയ സുരഗണാഹ ബ്രഹ്മാദയ സ്റ്റാർട്ടിംഗ് ഫ്രം ലോർഡ് ബ്രഹ്മ ഓൾ ദീസ് ഡെമിഗോഡ്സ് ദേ ട്രൈ ടു പ്ലീസ് യു ബൈ ദർ ഓർണമെന്റഡ് പ്രേയേഴ്സ് ആൻഡ് ദേ ആർ സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ സത്തു ഏകതാനഗതയ ദേ ആർ കംപ്ലീറ്റ്ലി സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ സത്തുഗുൺ and we can see the prayers of all other great personalities who were assembled in front of Narasimha Dev. And it is very interesting if you read those prayers. All these prayers, they are showing their connection to the Supreme Lord based on their service. Everyone, all of them, whether it's Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, whether Gandharvas, Charanas, Kimpurushas, great sages, all of them, they are praying to Lord Narasimha Dev. So they are glorifying Narasimha Dev in connection to their service. So they all are in connection to their service. So Gandharvas are telling, since Hiranyakashipu has taken charge, we are unable to glorify you. We have to glorify him. So similarly, all of them actually glorify Narasimha Dev based on their connection to the Lord, which is very important. When we glorify, yes, we can glorify the Lord, we can glorify the spiritual master, then we also have to express our connection to the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, you know, when we glorify them, when we are writing a Vyasa Puja offering. General glorification is very important, but our connection also has to be expressed. It's very important because that makes it personal. Similarly, they all presented this prayers which are very poetic. According to the Shastra, they are situated in Sattugun and they have used all the poetic devices to glorify the Lord. And now, Prahlad Maharaj is telling, still you are not satisfied. Then, what is my position? Aham, what is my position? Ugra Jatehe. I am born in a, what family? Demoniac family. So, this is the humility of Prahlad Maharaj. At the same time, he had all the qualification. And does he actually stop? After that, okay, the false humility means then stop there. No qualification, I will not speak anything. But then next verse onwards, he starts glorifying the Supreme Lord. He starts glorifying the Supreme Lord. And he makes this point, according to my mind and intelligence, whatever abilities I have, based on that, I will glorify you. So here we can see this quality of the devotees. And further, speaking about humility, Sanatana Goswami explains in Bhagavatamrita that humility and the development of bhakti are synonymous. They go hand in hand. In other words, real humility and the most advanced bhakti, prema bhakti, love of Godhead, they are the same. In other words, if one has such a great devotion, then naturally one has that level of humility and vice versa. So he equates humility to prema bhakti. So this is a very, very high quality. So it's not something which we can imitate. So one time one devotee asked Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaj, a very interesting question, practical question. We have heard that to chant properly, to do devotional service, to preach Krishna consciousness, we had to be humble. And on the other side, to develop our bhakti and devotional qualities, how it comes? By doing devotional service. So if you have humility, you can do bhakti properly. And if you have bhakti, you will get devotional qualities. It is connected. Can you see the cycle? What can we do? There is no real humility. So this devotee told Maharaj, there is no real humility. How can I do proper bhakti? And at the same time, without doing proper bhakti, how can I get real humility? So Maharaj said, I know that you don't have real humility. Okay, he said, I know that you don't have real humility. That's okay, but don't act arrogantly. So it's a very good point. I thought, okay, this is a very good point. So at least that we can do. We don't have good real humility. That's okay. But at least don't act arrogantly. So, see, important point. Repeated. So, at least we shouldn't act arrogantly. So, at least on our level, we can start from there. If we cannot act on the most humble platform, at least we don't need to act in a very arrogant way. So, this is talking about humility. And also, Lord Chaitanya, he also demonstrated humility in various occasions. In preaching, where Lord Chaitanya manifested humility in preaching? You can tell. Lord Chaitanya, yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very, very, very important pastime. Okay, Digvijay Pandit. Okay. Did he actually manifest humility specifically? Not Prabodhananda Saraswati. Very close. Very close. Yes, Prakashananda Saraswati. Prakashananda Saraswati. Because that is very interesting. Because Mahaprabhu, he knew the heart of Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar Acharya. And they were so much concerned that the Lord has been criticized by these Mayavadis. So the Lord wanted to fix the problem, and so they invited all the sannyasis, and then for lunch, prasadam, Mahaprabhu was also present, and all these Mayavadi sannyasis headed by Prakashananda Saraswati was present. And then the Lord went there and he chose to sit at a place where they washed their feet. So he, you know, this is really humility, to sit at a lower position. And they were all in a higher platform, Prakashananda Saraswati and all other sannyasis. Mahaprabhu chose to sit there, and then he attracted them by showing his effulgence. The Lord manifested his Brahman effulgence. And the Prakashananda Saraswati and other sannyasis, they are after impersonal Brahman, and they got attracted immediately. And so Prakashananda Saraswati, he went down and he told, you are so effulgent and you are so qualified, you shouldn't be sitting here on such a lower level. Rather, you come and you sit with us. So with his hand, he took Mahaprabhu and brought to a higher stage. So this was very beneficial for Prakashananda Saraswati, because he did Agyada Sukriti. And then, of course, we know the conversation. There also, what did Mahaprabhu say? Mahaprabhu didn't actually present the whole philosophy straight away. He presented himself as a fool, right? He said to Prakashananda Saraswati, they are Vedic scholars. He didn't try to defeat them straight away. After hearing whatever they were saying, Mahaprabhu said that my spiritual master told that I am a fool, and so do just one thing. What is that? Krishna Nama Japa Sata A Mantra Sar. That's it. Always chant Krishna's name, because you don't have adhikar for Vedanta. Murkha tumi na Vedantar adhikar. You are a murkha, and so you don't have the qualification to study Vedanta. And so just chant Krishna's names. Just chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is the instruction that I got from my spiritual master. Assume, if you are going for a debate or if you want to show one's prowess, will we ever tell that, you know, my spiritual master told me that I am a fool and I have no understanding of Shastra. I don't know any philosophy, and so I know only how to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is what Mahaprabhu told Prakashananda Saraswati. And then he explained. After that he explained everything philosophically. What's wrong with the arguments? So you can see, everywhere Mahaprabhu demonstrating utmost humility. The Lord is manifesting utmost humility. It's very difficult for us to fathom. Even while preaching the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was humble enough to hear all this Mayavad philosophy for 7 days. Isn't it? He didn't cut at the first word. After hearing seven 7 days. And who? Gopinath Acharya was telling the Lord, he was so angry. Gopinath Acharya, he is the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Gopinath Acharya is a great devotee and he knew who Mahaprabhu was. Whereas Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya didn't know who Mahaprabhu is. He couldn't understand. So when Mahaprabhu reached Jagannath Puri and staying with in the initial episode in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gopinath Acharya was pleased that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya served him. But when he heard that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to teach Vedanta philosophy to Lord Chaitanya, he was very upset. He was thinking, why is he trying to teach the Supreme Lord? Vedeshya sarver ahameva vedyo vedanta krit vedavideva chaham. Or Vedanta krit, one who has written Vedanta Sutra, is the Supreme Lord. The real knower of Veda is the Supreme Lord. And here, the Bhattacharya wants to teach Vedanta to him. So Gopinath Acharya was very angry. He was very upset. He had a conversation with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya with all his disciples. And Gopinath Acharya tried to say that, look, this is the Supreme Lord. So understand, he is the Supreme Lord. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not ready to accept. He told, there are no incarnations in the age of Kali. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was also speaking based on Shastra. He said, according to Shastra, there cannot be any incarnation appearing in the age of Kali, which is true. And then Gopinath Acharya explained, which is true for Leela Avatars. For Leela Avatars it is true. The Lord never comes as Leela Avatar in the age of Kali. So there is no Leela Avatar in the age of Kali. And there are further explanations. Even generally, whichever incarnations appear in this age of Kali, they are never Vishnu Tattva. That is also a fact. They are never Vishnu Tattva. They are generally Shakti Avesh. Whether it's Buddha or whether if we consider Kalki, they are never Vishnu Tattva. They are Shakti Avesh. Because the Lord doesn't want to come. See, the Lord doesn't want to come in the age of Kali. Only generally send us Shakti Avesh, means empowered Jiva with all the potencies of the Lord, and they can fulfill the mission. They can do that. But the Lord doesn't want to come personally. So Gopinath Acharya told, Mahaprabhu is not Leela Avatar, but he is Channa Avatar. But still, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya couldn't understand, he couldn't accept. So he concluded, the final word of Gopinath Acharya was, Prasada Leshanigrihita Evahi Janadi Tattvam Bhagavan Mahimno Nachani Egobi Chiram Vichanvan. He said, Prasada Lesha, if someone receives even a little bit of mercy, Prasada Lesha, then one can understand Bhagavan Mahimno. One can understand the glories of the Lord. Otherwise, Chiram Vichinvan, one can search in the scriptures or otherwise, for whole life, for eternally, still one cannot understand the Supreme Lord. That's why he said, Janati Tattvam Bhagavan Mahimno Nachanya Ekopi Chiram Vichinvan. Chiram means eternally one can search for the Lord. That's what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was doing. Still he couldn't understand the Supreme Lord. He couldn't recognize the Supreme Lord. And then, when Mahaprabhu was ready to accept the teachings from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then Gopinath Acharya told the Lord, why are you hearing from Sarvabhauma? Why do you want to hear from him? He was very upset. Why do you want to hear from him? The Lord told, he's speaking this out of affection. He has fatherly affection. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is an elderly person. And Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi of just the age of 24. And young sannyasi. And he said, if you are just chanting and dancing, if the intelligence is not fixed in Shastra, then he may be swayed by the material energy. He can be captivated by the material energy. This was the thought of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So I want to help him, to fix him in Vedanta philosophy, in that he will not lose his sannyas order. So this was the mood of Sarvabhautacharya, and the Lord understood, and he humbly accepted that service. He just took it as a service and he accepted it. So this is the humility of the Lord, and he heard for 7 days, even though he, you know, this is the last thing that the Lord wants to hear, Mayavad. He heard that, and then of course he counteracted, and he showed utmost mercy to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. What did he show to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? Do you know what form did he show? Shadbhuj form of the Lord. He showed everything, all his features as Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, and as Mahaprabhu. He showed all the form to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So this is the mercy of the Lord. So they also manifest this humility. And whenever great devotees or the Lord manifests anger, it is only out of compassion. So even though it is mentioned here that they don't become angry, we have to understand they don't become angry because of lack of sense gratification. Generally, why anger? If whatever we want, it doesn't happen, we become angry. If our sense gratification is curtailed, then we become angry. That is the essence of anger. Kamat, what is that? Next is krodha. So that is the essence of anger. But the Lord or His great devotees are not like that. And their anger, if they become anger, it is really out of compassion. It's a genuine expression of their compassion. And in that we can see in Lord's and His devotees' pastime. So here, Prabhupada is coming to this essential point that vimanyu, or one has to become devoid of anger in sharing Krishna consciousness. So this is the essential point Prabhupada is bringing in this purport, that if we are not tolerant, we will not be able to share this knowledge to anyone. It can be any places. And that's the reason it is always important to share this to new people. It is insufficient for us to preaching to devotees. It is insufficient for our spiritual growth just to preach to devotees. That is only giving Bhagavatam class or teaching. That is insufficient. We have to interact with new people. It is very important. And that is the way we can develop actually good qualities. It's very important. Okay, both ways. We are helping them and we are helping ourselves. Because when we interact with new people, then they will not show us respect. They will not listen from us, which is very good for us. When you distribute books, we are humble, literally humble. People can speak anything, right? You can hear the arrogant words really smashing our false ego. Always it happens, and it is good. That is the, even many things, people can say so many different things. Directly they can tell. So, which is good for us. At the same time, they are getting help. If we are behaving properly, it is helping them. Actually, even though they may behave to us in an angry mood, still it is actually helping them. Because they are dealing with some devotees. Whatever we have, we are giving. It's helping. Giving lectures to new people, it is good. Because it's not easy. We have to put up with their thoughts, their questions, their problems. So dealing with new people, it's very, very helpful for our spiritual progress. So that we need to continue all the time. In the sense, we can be new to Krishna consciousness. One can be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Still, one has to deal with new people. It's very important and it is very helpful for us. Hare Krishna. So I just stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, I agree.
but not mind him that much. So then, like, they used to follow him, but they used to not take that seriously.
This is about Prabhupada?
Yes. Why did you start asking forgiveness?
So Prabhupada, even sisters, they do chastise. At the same time, they may ask for forgiveness. You know, they may ask for forgiveness. So why do they do that? The answer is, a devotee, of course, a pure devotee, and even other devotees, they are actually playing very safe in one sense. They don't want to offend anyone. So this is a very important point when we are chastising someone. If we are in a position to chastise someone, when we are chastising, we cannot go overboard. Chastisement will be required for correction, but we cannot go overboard. Because we have to see, when we are chastising, we are giving the anger, but it is for the right purpose, right amount. Because it cannot be a point of, you know, my mind is already agitated, so this is my opportunity to let go on others, you know, just go, give to others. No, it doesn't work like that. You understand? So it's not just an opportunity for expression, free expression. No, it's not like that. So they see how much is required that they give. You understand? And to make sure that it is not really offending. That's why one may ask for forgiveness. It's not that one has to ask for forgiveness, but if somebody is asking for forgiveness after chastising, it is for this purpose. Make sense? Any question? Any comment? Yeah, yes, Prabhu, you can use them.
Prabhu, the example you gave about Srila Prabhupada demonstrating his humility, that he bows his head down and is a fifth class, what does it take to develop such qualities? Can it be cultivated or is it awarded, Prabhuji?
So as I told, initial cultivation is not acting arrogantly. As Srila Prabhupada said, you can, even if you don't have the quality, at least you can act externally. So this is one kind of cultivation. Second is, we pray for that. So for example, when we are chanting, we pray. If we cannot hear Krishna's name, we pray. It is very important, because then we pray to the holy name. Just to help us to hear the holy name. So yes, so there is the part of our endeavor. Second, another part of our endeavor is sincere devotion service. That is endeavor in itself. Now, higher level of qualities which are awarded. So when Krishna sees that, okay, we are endeavoring, then Krishna can award such qualities. It's not easy. Actually, if you think about, without devoid of anger, it's not easy. Isn't it? It's not easy. So Krishna has to give us. We endeavor and Krishna gives. It is just like any aspect in our devotion service. We endeavor and Krishna shows his mercy. So when it comes to the devotional qualities also, it has to be bestowed based on our desire, our endeavor. So both sides are there. So it doesn't mean that we don't need to endeavor. We have to endeavor. It's like, you know, I'm becoming angry all the time. I'm telling, you know, look, devotion service should purify me so I can just do whatever I want. No, it doesn't work like that. So that is against our philosophy, because we have to control our mind and senses. So it is two-way. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Okay, any final question?
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.